Meeting come to order, please. Will the secretary please call the roll and determine a quorum?
Bill Marston.
Here.
Patricia Byrne.
Here.
Justine is excused. Carol Kitaoka is excused. Terry Marshall.
Here.
Margaret Masunaga is excused. Dale Okazaki.
Here.
Warren Oripasa. And Dan Leon. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Turning to the next item, the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes?
Yes. On page 8, under item 6, I guess, or 4, the executive session, where it says the motion was seconded by Commissioner Berg. That's incorrect.
Okay.
Any other additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? If not, do I hear a motion that the minutes be adopted? So I hear a second. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Resolution passes. Move then to item 4 on the agenda, public testimony. We ask at this time that anybody who has wants to submit any data, views, or arguments on any agenda item, please feel free to do so. I have in front of me a list of those who've signed up. And the first one on the list is Jemai Kamauchi. Jemai? Sure. Any place you can find a seat.
Thank you. May I begin?
Right ahead, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Marston, members of the Commission. My name is Jemai Kamauchi. I'm the Hawaii County Clerk. I'm here today to testify concerning item 5, discussion and review of the County of Hawaii 2012 general election to include recommendations for future elections held in that county. It's my strong recommendation that the state again return its delegation of authority to run its election as well as Hawaii County elections to the County of Hawaii. We have the adequate staffing and resources to handle the elections going forward, in particular going into the 2012 election year. I would like to tell you that when the state revoked its delegation of authority for the general election, that was not done with my consent. It was not by mutual consent. We had begun preparations to prepare for that general election, and the state had revoked its delegation without consulting with us prior to. We were notified on October 2nd, a scant 30 days prior to that election, that our responsibilities for that election would be changing. And at that time, I did not make a significant amount of protest concerning that because I did not feel that that was in the best interest of the electorate or the voters. But as now the election has concluded and obviously the challenge period has passed, it's now time for me, I think, to be able to tell you that that disruption in services, I believe, was very negative, and the approach that was used was also very negative and indicative of the approach that had been used with Hawaii County for the past, you know, in the previous 12 months that we had been preparing for elections. As you may recall, some of the commissioners who were here at the time, I see that there are some new faces here. The Hawaii County Clerk, myself, had submitted to this commission a statement concerning my concerns regarding the ability and the methods that and the ways that the Office of Elections had been running, and that had been done in November 2011. It's my understanding that none of the items that expressed concerns had been addressed by the Chief Election Officer, and those problems had persisted going into the 2012 election cycle. It is also disturbing for me to note that the Chief Election Officer also inserted himself into the process of a personnel matter within Hawaii County. There were employees that he requested to be reinstated, and he sent a letter to Mayor William P. Kanoi concerning this in April of 2012. His letter, if I can paraphrase and summarize, had stated that Without those workers, there would be serious mishaps and problems with the elections process. And again, I have to tell you that that was done in his personal capacity and not in his official capacity as the chief election officer. But in my opinion, there's no distinction between himself and that office. And it seems as though he was wearing the mantle of his position in order to advocate for certain personnel matters to occur, and had stated so in a way that seemed as if they were not hired or rehired again, that there would be a serious election problem. I came before this commission in May 2012, and I was intensely questioned concerning the preparations that we were undertaking for the primary and general election, and I assured this commission that we would be fine. And all seemed to have been going well, and according to plan, we had met all of our targeted goals that we needed to prior to the primary election. And in fact, our office came up with an election readiness report. We held a press conference in Hawaii County concerning all of our preparations. And this report was prepared in July of 2012. And everything seemed to have been going according to plan. We developed issues and problems approximately, you know, a couple weeks prior to the election, the primary election, where we had staffing, a large number of staff which were not at our office, who were not able to help. And that then also, that coupled with failed deliveries in West Hawaii, in Hawaii County on election day, contributed to election irregularities, which then resulted in the issuance by Governor Abercrombie of an election day proclamation requesting and actually ordering that election precincts stay open and remain open in order to allow people to vote. Again, the basis of that proclamation were unforeseen circumstances and an emergency situation. Governor recognized that that was what was happening. So what we had done to prepare in Hawaii County for the primary election, in my opinion, was very good. All was well. One thing I think that's very, very important to note is that although that election was a concurrent election, responsibilities were borne by both the county and by the state. It appeared as though the state didn't want to take, State Office of Elections didn't want to take any responsibility for any contribution it may have had to the running of that election. And that is a significant problem. Another significant problem is our office was under constant attack. I need to step back a little bit. In about early July of 2012, our office conducted an audit of the voter registration list. And in that audit, which I believe had never been performed before in the state, we discovered duplicate names registered in our voter registration list, which we were attempting to clean up following the redistricting and reassignment process, where we assigned voters in Hawaii County from their old districts to their new districts. So as part of that process, in order to make sure that we had a clean list where we crossed our T's and dotted our I's, we went ahead and performed a review and did determine that there were irregularities in our voter registration list, which we cleaned up. We had also found that there were possible instances of double voting in the previous election by persons who had been listed twice in the registration. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't put any of the public, any of the voters at risk of having an unforeseen or inadvertent problem at the polls, and wanted to make sure that we ourselves were policing ourselves appropriately. That, I cannot tell you in enough words how we in our county had experienced an unprecedented amount of media coverage concerning that audit. It was unbelievable. I mean, doing something that we thought was right, where we thought we were doing the right thing by making sure that our registration list was clean and adequate and protecting the rights of voters, we were attacked. Attacked and attacked and attacked. And a lot of the communications that were coming to me late and were going to media first. And I had, again, in November 2011, had indicated a severe problem with communication from the State Office of Elections. Part of that severe problem is the fact that they kept going to the media before they would come to us, which threw us off and didn't allow us an opportunity to be able to respond to them with enough time in order to get things out to the public. And that put us at a severe disadvantage, and I cannot explain to you why somebody would choose to do that, but it was, I think, unprofessional. Yes? Who went to the media? The State Office of Elections was issuing letters that were then directed to the media, and in some cases, before I even saw it.
I hear a lot of I's.
Yes.
When you say I, do you mean we?
Well, any action that's taken in this matter, I believe, is directed to Hawaii County.
No, but I hear a lot of ayes. This is a re.
Mm-hmm.
You're an aye.
No, I represent the County of Hawaii. So, again, unprecedented media coverage for something that we thought we were doing right, and then that began a series of questions that kept relating to our office, and we would get a lot of media attention for things that, again, I believe were getting directed to media before they got directed to us. Okay, so going back to the primary, again, serious irregularities. I took responsibility. I still take responsibility for the failures for a primary election on the Big Island, but I cannot take full responsibility for that. It's a concurrent election, and the responsibility is borne by both the state and by the county. Now, after the primary election, we took steps to correct problems. We met with election precinct workers. We were working with the state in order to correct any materials, supplies, communication problems. You have to understand, too, we left Hawaii County offices on primary election day on August 12th at 5:38 in the morning. I returned to the building at 11 a.m. that day, and I didn't leave for 2 days. And the reason why I didn't leave is because I wanted to look through all the materials that came back, and I wanted to make sure that I understood very well what had happened in our county. And I gathered enough information to understand where the problems were. But it still requires a more thorough investigation by an outside party, an outside investigator, in order to take a look at what happened at the primary election and to make sure that it doesn't happen again, okay? Now, I'm glad to see that, you know, we were, again, working toward, with the state, working toward preparations for the general election. Things were going smoothly. And all of a sudden, on October 2nd, I get a call saying, we're going to revoke our delegation of authority. At the same day, a press conference, my understanding, a press conference was held. I was not invited to attend. Obviously, this was a great disruption to the staff, to the county, and the way that was handled, I think, was grossly inappropriate. And again, in order to restore faith to the electorate and to make sure that voters felt comfortable with what was happening, obviously, by state law, the State Office of Elections, the Chief Election Officer, has the right to revoke that delegation. So I didn't consent to it, but I also thought the best thing to do for the public is to just let it go. Because if I fought it too much, it would have resulted in a lot of problems and a lot of, I think, disturbance to the public. So we went ahead with the general. We continued to provide support to the state and the State Office of Elections and Chief Election Officer in order to have the best election that we could. And we had a good election. There were problems with the election. I notified the state of one problem in West Hawaii at one of the precincts. It was the Kahakai precinct, where there was a person who had volunteered, my understanding, had volunteered to serve as a poll book worker and who were signing in people who may not have been registered to vote. That was what was reported to me. So we contacted the state, the program administrator who came down to handle the general election for the state. We communicated, I talked to her, the problem was taken care of for the day. But I still wanted to inspect the record books and the poll books to make sure I understood what was going on in the county on that day after the election. I never got a chance to look at those materials because the state has never gotten back to me to tell me when I can take a look at those materials. And I have to remind you again, this is a concurrent election. The County of Hawaii ought to have had the opportunity and still have the opportunity to inspect all the election materials if we choose to do so. So the fact that I've never gotten word back from the state, I think, is not acceptable. Now, also, there was another report that I received about 2 weeks ago of duplicate voting in Hawaii County, one instance of duplicate voting. Now, that matter was brought to me. The precinct person had made sure that that record of duplicate voting or alleged duplicate voting had been recorded into the record books. Again, I was not allowed to inspect any of that. I brought that matter just recently to the attention of the Chief Election Officer. I'm not sure what he's going to do to follow up, but what I did was, any case of duplicate voting, we're going to refer that to local law enforcement for follow-up, which is what I did, okay? So, and again, inspection of the poll books I think is very important, inspection of the record books is very important, and I have not had the opportunity to do that, and the election is far past already, okay? I need to tell you that, the running of the elections, general election in Hawaii County by the state and by the county together, helping each other, did go well. But But going forward, I want to tell you that Hawaii County, again, has the adequate staffing and resources to be able to hold, host, and handle an election, any election going forward in our county, and that we were ready to do so before the state revoked its authority. One last matter I want to bring to your attention. It's kind of disturbing to me when we received these t-shirts from the state. I didn't notice it at first, but I need to bring this to your attention. This is a picture of a record book, okay? Now, if you might recall, there was controversy surrounding the removal of Hawaii County record books from the primary election. Okay, the State Office of Elections had said that they confiscated the books. I didn't even know that they were gone from our county. I knew that we didn't have them because I spent 2 days at the county building researching what had happened at the primary election. I knew we didn't have them, but I wasn't sure where they had gone. Okay, I found out later that the state had taken them. Now, the record book is displayed on these t-shirts. These t-shirts were made for the general election. Hawaii County is marked off on the t-shirt, County of Hawaii, and the polling place is mine. This is my polling place. Now, you're going to need to tell me, somebody should explain to me why it is that they would choose to do this. And the caption on it says, one for the record books. So, you know, I want to understand whether or not the extent of the chief elections officer's attacks were so personal as to go this far. Because if they were, I think this really needs to be addressed, and very seriously addressed. Okay, so I can leave this with you if you want it. Sure.
So all the elections workers had that shirt on Hilo?
All of the people that worked in Control Center had.
What is Control Center?
Control Center is a portion of the of an election operation.
Is that open to the public, or is that an inside thing?
Well, our office was open to the public that day because we were receiving absentee ballots from the public that day.
So what is your beef about the shirt again?
The shirt is the record book, which
was
crunched.
What is your position as to what?
I'm trying to explain that, if you let me answer, Chairman. May I answer the question?
Certainly.
Thank you. The record book was a source of controversy in the primary election. The record books had disappeared. It was a big issue whether or not they had been confiscated, removed without our permission or not. The county that's depicted on the record book is Hawaii County. The polling place is my personal polling place. Now, the question I have is, you might be able to explain that Hawaii County is the first county that's listed on the list. So, you know, you could choose that. The polling place, however, is not the first polling place in the list of polling places. It's the fifth. So the question is, why was my polling place selected to be depicted on that record, on that t-shirt? That's the question. That is what I'd like you to find out. I guess in conclusion, I want to say that I think what Governor Abercrombie is doing is very brave. I think he's a very courageous man. He is taking a position on a very controversial issue, and I really want to say that I congratulate him for that, and I support him in that effort. So thank you very much.
We have comments or questions from
sure.
The
sure.
That was a very enlightening presentation. Thank you very much. In your comments about the preparedness of the county, it's good to know that you felt that you were totally prepared. I do have a question regarding the lack of attendance of you and your staff at the training sessions that were attended by the other county clerks and their staff.
Mm-hmm.
You can explain why your staff was missing.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have staff missing from the training sessions. If I understand what you're referring to, you're referring to the training sessions that were held on Kauai, Maui, and Honolulu. Is that to confirm? Is that correct?
Prior to the general election.
Correct. Those are the training sessions you're referring to. Correct. So the first training session, which was held on Kauai, I had sent staff, including management staff, the deputy clerk, and staff from the Office of Elections, County of Hawaii Office of Elections, to that training session. I did not attend, and I did explain that to the chief election officer, that for that particular training session, I would be unable to attend. But because they had already begun the process to schedule it, and that date worked for Kauai and the other counties, and for our county and for the state, it seemed inappropriate for me to say, can you reschedule it just to accommodate my schedule? I attended the training on Maui. I attended the training in Honolulu as well. So I missed the one in Kauai, but it was well attended and attended by the deputy clerk, and the others were all attended by me. Okay? Any other questions?
So the essence of your testimony here today is that you want your the delegation back to the county of Hawaii. That's
correct.
The main purpose of your presentation here today.
Correct.
Is that you want that changed back.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Any other comments or questions from the commission?
No.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Turn to the next person on the list, Senator Slom.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, commission members. My name is State Senator Sam Slom, 9th District on Oahu. And I'm offering brief testimony, which I sent in yesterday. I presume you all received this. Got copies. Thank you. I'm here as a voter, a representative of dozens of constituents who asked me to express their outrage at the election process, and also as the Senate Minority Leader who appointed two of you to the Elections Commission. Let me say, first of all, that I recognize the work that you do, how difficult it is, and the many responsibilities that you have. But having said that, I think that it has become clear in our community that things are not right and changes must be made. Our right to vote is our most fundamental constitutional right, and the Office of Elections is charged with the responsibility to ensure that right and the process that goes with it. The office has one basic responsibility, and that is to run a efficient, honest, productive election every 2 years. That's it. Error-free. This year in the general election, there was a major failure that particularly affected my senatorial district in East Honolulu and polling places on Oahu. A simple, "I apologize," I don't feel is adequate or sufficient. And all of those errors, all of them, were avoidable. Quite simply, there must be a change in leadership. What you just heard now is what the public sees. He says, she says, discontent, division between the counties and the state, division between the executive branch and this office. In order to regain and retain trust in our process, we have to do something differently. And a lot of people point to just what happened in August in the primary and September in the general as being the problems. I went back here and just had a very brief list of things that I've been personally involved with over the years. Irregularities in the 1998 election tally. Evidence of voter fraud in several subsequent elections. Irregularities and cost overruns in voter machine contracts. Several egregious errors under the control of the former head, Mr. Cronin. Disenfranchisement of Hawaii Armed Forces voters. Action against Hawaii by the federal government because of late military balloting. Misinformation given regarding tenure of the Senate during the 2010 elections. In other words, people telling us who were running, "Oh, you're a four-year term. Oh, no, these are all four-year terms." And we asked specifically, "Wait a minute, reapportionment, isn't there a staggered, isn't there 2 years? Oh, no, it's four-year terms." We even got it in writing. And there were people that were surprised after the 2010 election to learn that all of the election was for 2 years only in the Senate. This kind of misinformation or lack of information really is inexcusable. A testimony by the Office of Elections against Oahu military voters during the recent reapportionment and the subsequent and continuing legal action that is ongoing. A failed campaign to increase voter turnout. The Hawaii Island meltdown during the primary. And then the general election with ballot alpha printing mistakes, the duplicate Manoa ballots, missing candidate names, wrong districts, shortage in paper ballots in 24 polling sites, as well as the long delays and the disenfranchisement of people who, in fact, did not get to vote and were turned away on November 6th. This erodes the confidence of the public. It makes them angered. and it cries out for action. And as I said, I have confidence in you. I know that you can do things, but you must act. Look, I just came out of 2 months of investigation of the University of Hawaii, and I want to tell you that the public is really mad. The public is incensed that our public institutions are not being led well, and that people are pointing fingers like this. Nobody's taking responsibility, but more importantly, nobody is willing to come forward and be transparent and accept the responsibility for these mistakes, and more importantly, to make changes. When I was preparing my written testimony yesterday, all of you got the message from the governor, who has weighed in on this process, although it is the legislature that has final determination of any changes that have been made in the structure. But the governor has come forward because he too is getting pressure. He's turned over an investigation to the Attorney General. I know that you're doing an internal audit. I don't know whether that's going to be completed today or when it is going to be completed. But it's got to be unlike other audits done by other state agencies, because the public is at the end of their ropes in terms of feeling that no one is taking action and no one is being held accountable and that there are no consequences. There's got to be a consequence for these actions. Some have called even for the election to go back under the control of the Lieutenant Governor or some other elected official. I personally think that would be a mistake. I reiterate, I have confidence in you as an independent body, but you've got to stand up, speak out, and take action. I do not think that any changes, including full electronic voting or absentee ballots in and of themselves, will either increase the turnout. We have other problems that we're all aware of. It definitely could decrease costs, although it was interesting. I saw in the news last night, right after the governor's announcement, there was an announcement from the Office of Elections that, oh, you won't save any money. In fact, it may even be more costly because of the number of people that would have to be involved with processing the absentee ballots and electronic voting. That doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense to the common person and to the voter. We have to find ways of making this process more intelligible and more cost-effective. So in conclusion, I would urge you today to take strong, decisive actions, expediting your internal review, adopting a specific and fail-safe future action plan, and replacement of current leadership. Those are my comments. I'd be glad to try and answer any questions. Thank you.
Carolyn, yes. I'd like a copy of Senator Sloan's remarks in writing.
I can see it.
I sent them back yesterday to Rex. Emailed them to Rex.
Sorry, I didn't get it. I'll make sure you get a copy.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Of an issue. I don't have it in writing.
Yeah.
It's more fun listening to
you. No, I'm glad to hear it.
Well, you folks, at least you folks know how to draw a crowd. I was looking around. I thought I was at a UH football game this evening. Without the $9 beer. It's a very serious issue, as you know. And people want you to succeed. They want the offices that are chosen. But you know, we look back over who our leadership has been, and it is not a very positive record. And that's why I say we've got to do more to ensure that we have leadership where people can talk with each other, where they're on the same page, and they can tell the public in a meaningful way, these are steps we've taken. We accept the responsibility. We screwed up. Nobody said that. You've got to do that, in my humble opinion.
I have a question.
Sure.
Think of water, because I'm talking about the track.
Sorry.
In your call for your phrase, there has to be consequence. I've heard you say that prior.
Yes.
And I understand the seriousness with which you deliver that. Would you be open to or accepting to the results of whatever investigation happens? Or let's say that the investigation says the problems are remediable, that they are not structurally deficient. Would would you then stand up and scream again that we have to have a consequence, or would you accept the objective third-party opinion?
Well, first of all, I didn't stand up. I'm not a screamer. And yes, I would accept the report. But again, going back to my most recent experience with the University of Hawaii, you may recall that the Board of Regents and some of their friends tried very diligently to get the Senate not to investigate the University of Hawaii. And one of the reasons they said was, we're working on a report, and we'll do our report. The report did not come out on time. It came out after the Senate was finished. It came out only after the Senate asked some questions that were very enlightening to people, because they didn't find out that's the way it was actually working. Went far beyond the wonder blunder of the $200,000 and showed inherent structural and procedural weaknesses within the administration of the university, the Board of Regents, and so forth. Now, to the extent that that is remedial, to the extent that the changes can be made, that's fine. And I think that's what we're looking for. We're not, as I indicated at the beginning of that Senate session, we were neither looking to whitewash or to witch hunt. I'm a graduate, a proud graduate of the University of Hawaii. My son is going there now. But the things that happen and the statements that are made, for example, oh, it's only $200,000, we probably waste or misuse more than that in a given year in our budget. That's unacceptable. And the public for too long has rolled over, and we've played this local boy game of, you know, well, that's just the way it is. That's how we do it. People are not taking that attitude anymore. So, yes, come up with a good report. Yes, come up with specific recommendations. But I think that those recommendations must, as I say, hold somebody accountable and make changes in leadership. I think that's important to give a positive message to the public. At this late date at the university, nobody's taking responsibility for what they did. Oh, I wasn't there that day. Well, that's not my responsibility. Well, I didn't do that. That's not good enough for the public who's paying for all of this. And here we're talking about voting, which is much more of a sacred responsibility.
Any more comments from the commission?
Is it possible to have Senator Sloan's written comments before the executive session? It seems like if they're existing in email, there ought to be a way to get them printed and brought to us,
our
street printer in this building.
Or if somebody wants to make copies of mine.
I just like it in writing. I have everybody else's comments in writing. I'd like to have it in writing.
You're like me. I'm from old school.
I do better.
In this paperless society.
There's going to be a lot of commentary, and I'd like to have it in writing. If you have it here, there's a photocopier that someone could photocopy it for.
Well, again, I apologize because I sent it in yesterday, and I assumed that copies would be made. Just down the hall.
Right. There ought to be a way to get that.
He's getting it.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Ms. Martin. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person on the list, and I'm not sure the last name, Kimo Sutton?
Yes, sir.
No.
Is that the...
Kimo Sutton. Or you can call me Warner. Kimo Sutton. Don't call me late for dinner.
Okay.
It's tough to follow Sam as it is because, you know, he is my senator. But I am here as a private citizen, Mr. Chair. Members, Chief, who I have many remarks about. As a private citizen, 60% over and over voting when 40% are so disenfranchised not to vote must be appalling to you also. Tens of thousands not being able to vote. How you doing, Danny? I've come here earlier and I suggested we look in someday to a different kind of voting, not by paper, but by electronic. I have a short statement when I sent in from my iPad from the Big Islands of some of the punctuation isn't as easy on an iPad, but I wrote and made my own statement today, if I may.
Please, go ahead.
Aloha. This horrendous general election raises the issue of an intent to change the results of the voters by lack of ballots in polling places. It seems too well coordinated by its chief not being able to respond so many requests all day makes it seem well unorganized not to be planned. As vice chair of the previous elections appointment and review panel, your predecessor to the commission, I'm appalled by the lack of oversight and its total failure by the elections chief, Nago. It should seem to be an explicit reason, because you have to have a reason to fire him, and look at the reintroduction of the election's responsibility to a dual oversight with the lieutenant governor's office in the elections process. By the way, they have a better meeting room. There seems to be no election day job that is strictly for him. So he has now fired the subordinate who handles ballots, but he sent her to the Big Island for the general election as a scapegoat. And they make press releases? What, are they running for office themselves? Please. His office could have assisted in getting the extra ballots from the Capitol to the polls by taxi, or by driving the paper of the correct polls themselves from his staff. This snafu further reduces the lowest turnout in the nation and overcompensates to the other district vote waiting. That means we didn't have a fair election. As Representative Marumoto said on television the night of the election, this big miscalculation and lack of delivery of backup and appropriate ballots quickly could have conspiracy implications. You have to ask her for more what her opinion is, but I have my own. In the minds of many, and especially Oahu's electorate, they could have tens of thousands turned away or left waiting and left again while waiting in line for the one electronic machine. We must have faith in our elections. That's where they have you. Moving that once again, every vote counts, and every registered voter allowed to cast their ballot. Who would so totally unprepare us in so many circumstances that could have determined several races, including mayor, first congressional, Senate, council, and legislative races? An investigation into this fraud must be done by this body, the Senate, and I choose the FBI. Thank you.
Any comments or questions from the commission? Thank you, Kimo.
Aloha, and thank you for being so underpaid.
And the next person on the list is Janet Mason from the League of Women Voters.
Morning, Chair Morrison.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How
are
you?
Good to see you again.
I think you've all probably seen the League's press release shortly after the November 6th election. Like many people, we were very distressed about the ballot shortage problems, but we've taken a deep breath and we're trying to move on with some constructive suggestions for what to do about this. My remarks today concern the 2012 general election conducted throughout Hawaii. We read the chief elections officer's report, and we think it's a good disclosure of the scope and cause of the ballot problems. We're happy that there was a thorough review of this, because these problems were extremely serious. But we think, because the ballot problems weren't deliberate, they can be prevented in future elections, but they need systematic attention. And we urgently ask that the Elections Commission let the public know what steps have been taken and will be taken to prevent a recurrence. We have observations about other aspects of the 2012 elections besides the ballot problems, and we're going to be active in the legislature during the 2013 session. In fairness, we want to mention that a couple of things actually went well during the election. First, we didn't see a repeat of the problems that occurred in the primary election on the Big Island. And we attribute this to the fact that there was recognition that there should be a statewide elections authority in Hawaii, statewide, for federal and state elections. Second, the reporting relationship for the Office of Elections with an independent chief elections officer, together with the appointed elections commission continues to permit a reasonable amount of nonpartisan elections administration, independent of any political party or any special interest group. We note that there were few, if any, complaints about the tabulation of the ballots, but in fairness to both voters and candidates, we now believe there should be provision for automatic recounts of any statewide election where the difference in the final outcome is extremely small. And we say this knowing that such recounts are relatively expensive to conduct, but we think it's very important to preserving voter confidence. There was widespread public dissatisfaction with the conduct of the general election, and the League concurs with much of the criticism of these operations. We received many complaints directly, including the long time to verify information with the call center, precinct workers. In one case, we received a complaint that a precinct worker insisted on having a picture ID from a voter in order to cast a vote when a utility bill would have been sufficient. We received complaints of the poll books not being up to date. We received complaints that voters did not get their yellow cards before Election Day. The Office of Elections is besieged by unprecedented problems, but now it's time for a visionary management plan that moves forward with voting modernization while making it possible for the Office of Elections, the county clerks, and the Elections Commission to function as a cohesive statewide effort. While we endorse modernized methods such as online voter registration, we do so recognizing that access to computer technology is not universal. So manual systems of registration have to be maintained. And we do not yet support online voting. We believe that voting modernization, however, is very important, and we want to see a plan from the Office of Elections to do this systematically, gradually. We want online voter registration to supplement the current methods for registering to vote. Last year, the legislature passed, with our active promotion, and Governor Abercrombie signed, a measure that should make this possible by 2016. Once the secure voter registration database is in place, it should be possible to widely deploy this information so that voters could double-check their own registration. And it should be possible for precinct officials to immediately check whether a citizen is registered to vote at a particular precinct rather than phoning into the Elections Control Center. Electronic access to voter information is already working in many other states. The secure online registration database would make electronic poll books possible. These contain computer software that loads digital registration records, and they're used in at least 27 states and the District of Columbia. This would supplement our efforts to promptly authenticate voters' identity, address, and registration status. No voting system is 100% immune to problems, but we should be studying a more secure electronic poll book system. We would like to see same-day voter registration, so unregistered voters could immediately vote once registration has been completed. Again, the secure database, widely deployed throughout the state, seems essential to this modernization. And now we have some comments about absentee voting. The League of Women Voters has been a consistent supporter of mail-in absentee voting and early voting. Hawaii voters like this, and they use it more frequently. As a safeguard, we suggest studying a tracking system for absentee ballots similar to the one used in Denver that permits a voter to know where his or her ballot is at all times, from the first printing to when it's counted. This could help answer voter questions such as, did you send me my ballot, or did my ballot get counted? And it would also alert officials if certain problems arise, such as the mail carrier didn't deliver ballots to a certain zip code. It's prudent to introduce some type of tracking system before adopting any permanent all mail-in approach as a means of measuring the success rate of delivery and the return of absentee votes. Analysis of recent elections should also assess whether votes cast by mail are less likely to be counted or more likely to be contested than those cast in our voting booths. So we're saying absentee voting is very worthwhile. It offers prospects for being very cost effective, but we have to go to this in stages. The approach clearly offers a more efficient option than operating 170 polling places on six islands eventually. So the all mail-in approach used by Washington and Oregon deserves more consideration. Once a long-term modernization plan is in place, the resources and structure for implementing this have to follow. While the League actively supports the legislature strengthening the authority of the State Elections Office, because right now in our elections law, this is not clearly spelled out, and this would avoid problems such as those that occurred in Hawaii County in August, we heartily reject calls for reorganizing elections administration by placing this critical function under a politically elected executive. As for your commission, we respectfully note that you started out in 2004 being very secure and very secretive and partisan. But since the latter part of 2008, we can see that it's become more open here. As for resources, it appears to us the operating budget of the Elections Office has been inadequate for many years. Excluding such basics as continuing education and training for staff, adequate compensation for precinct chairs and voter service officers, and adequate telecommunications. Together with more adequate compensation for the precinct officials, we now call for some type of mandatory testing and annual certification for precinct and control center volunteers to avoid providing misinformation to the public. They are currently receiving training, but we think a testing and some kind of certification would be helpful, because the districts change fairly regularly. Some of the regulations concerning voting change, the technology may change. We must have volunteers who are well-informed. This should also make it somewhat easier for the Office of Elections to recruit and retain the qualified poll workers they do have, and that's been a persistent problem for them. There's a lot of turnover. The capital budget for this office must include a reasonable amount for computer resources, both hardware and software, if we're able to achieve more reliable modern voting operations. Citizens have to be prepared to invest in a secure, best practices election operation. This isn't the time to either restrict or cut the budget of the elections office, nor leave staff positions vacant. In fact, it's already time to prepare for the 2014 elections. Thank you. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions by any of the commissioners?
Well, comment for Janet. Yes. It's just quite a document you produced. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Any other comments from the commission? Thank you very much. Thank you for your comments. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Next person on the list we have is Carol Cox.
Good morning, Commission, and thank you, Mr. Morton. Carol Cox, I'm a voter, a citizen, live in Mililani. A vote, my right to vote is very important. One of the most valuable things that I have ownership of as a human being. That, I believe, was violated I voted by absentee ballot. But I'm concerned that I have a radio show also, the Carol Cox Show. Prior to this, I want to speak to the fact that I believe personally there should be change of leadership. In fact, a cleansing of that entire office as we know it here, based on my experience. I reached out for the handicapped and the blind to seek an outreach and invited some of the staff of Mr. Nago to appear in person or by phone. He refused, then refusing to even return a personal call. But moving forward, during and after the election, I have received written, and I've submitted this to you in a written form to the Elections Commission and a complaint asking that the FBI, you refer this to the FBI, no independent study, because the behavior that is exhibited with this staff and this leader is absolutely unacceptable. We're talking about the right to vote, the basic glue and the fabric of America. To see that tainted and tattered by the behavior, and I bring your attention to the manner in which he displayed the activities and his nature to address the Hawaii Island issue. You allowed him to go and take that matter in the hands and handle it. I would like to see the same aggressive, heavy-handed approach to this staff, to this leader. But I've also asked in my complaint, and I submitted that because I wanted to know that it would be heard as testimony as well. In that complaint, I'm asking, there is an issue, a ballot worker or a precinct worker informed me that foreign ballots, foreign language ballots, do not appear and arrive at the precinct, at the voting, at the polling place, secured. They arrive in a utility box. And the expression was, the concern was that, who counts for those? So that is a very serious, this is to allow this gentleman and the staff to stay on is just absolutely unimaginable. I can't understand why there has been no leave with pay or on administrative leave or something. There should be something more aggressive. None of this, none of these actions should be tolerated. And I'm asking that, I believe there was a criminal intent here. You can't have this many accidents or oversights or missteps when you are declared professionals and you have that responsibility. So, in submitting my request, I'm asking today, will you be responding to me? I've sent a number of questions to the staff, to Mr. Nago, and they were completely ignored. If I could ask you, the commission, is that justified? Is there any rational reason that he would be justified in ignoring me as a citizen?
I'm not sure of you.
Well,
you're asking the commission to comment on why.
Well,
you didn't.
I sent. Well, not only that, I sent you those questions, and I have not gotten a response. So, do you place a value or an importance on it?
I'm sorry, Mr.
Cox, Carol Cox.
I do not see any questions in your two-page email that I received.
Well, I've sent others, and that speaks to the inefficiency of that office, and because I've sent them there, and I've sent them to Mr. Nago, and I've posted them on my website. Yes. Yes, yes. And so asking that they be forwarded to you. Pardon me?
I said I've never received questions.
Well, I believe
I'm
so.
You didn't send them. I'm
oh,
just
no, no. I expect that as an answer because that has been that's good. Mm-hmm. But there was another letter with several questions speaking to and asking specific. And again, thinking that you would be in receipt of those, it didn't happen. And I believe that what should be done is, as we move forward, whatever the solution is, whatever you do to address this, should be greater access to the public. The staff will argue with you on the phone, very rude. So again, I wasn't calling to buy a dog or a sheep or something or a car. I was calling to exercise my rights and to enhance the right of others to vote. And this was, I've seen, received better treatment at other agencies. So, thank you. Again, my testimony is in the form of the letters that I've written formally, and I don't want to appear scattered, but again, it's painful. I feel as though I have been robbed personally, and how can I trust this system if we tolerate this? So I believe that the commission should have been more aggressive in coming forward. And another example, there was a news article that said the meeting would be the week of December 10th. Then all of a sudden, it pops up, and it's going to happen on the 27th of November. It is this kind of communication that belittles the whole voting process, in my opinion. And I would like to see some efficiency and a greater effort to respect the voter. So, thank you.
I have a question for you, Mr. Cox. The letter that I have, the only one that's forwarded to me, is dated November 8th. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know the date of the letter that you sent to the state election office that you asked to be forwarded to us?
Maybe November 9th, I think. I sent one on the 8th and one on the 9th.
Okay, so it was in the same time frame, the letter that was not forwarded to us. Okay.
I guess a point of clarification for you, sir. Did you say when the board is making an attempt to schedule a meeting, typically there's some communication to determine whether or not you will be able to maintain a status quo. That is key in scheduling a meeting date. So while there might be an intent to schedule a meeting at a particular time, there are reasonable explanations as to why it would change for practical reasons. No sense of holding a meeting if we don't have a forum.
Yeah.
And additionally, when that decision is made, the notice of that meeting is posted.
Not to mean to be disrespectful. That is elementary. I understand there are various uncertainties that exist and that appear.
It's not an easy point to get.
If I may, I understand that. I understand the complexity of scheduling. I'm speaking to what transpired. If we can avoid that. Whatever the need is, whatever you need to do the implementation. And what I'm concerned with, I go away feeling that I get the sense that you're excusing this behavior.
That's not an appropriate position.
Well, I'm sorry. That's my conclusion, sir, to be able to draw as an individual. I can't have you. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Are you finished?
Please. Well, yes, that was my opinion. Am I entitled to that, sir?
Oh, no, you are entitled,
okay,
but
thank
I wanted to clear the record. There are 9 of us that have to meet at the same time, and we don't live on the same island, and we're all working. And working is kind of key for me, because if I have something to do at work, I can't come to this meeting. And that's one of the reasons meetings have changed.
Yeah.
There's nothing nefarious behind that change.
I understand that. I just spoke to the entire climate that I'm speaking. There's one thing after another that contributes to the distrust, and not one single act. I'm not accusing you of being underhanded. I'm just saying to share with you as a voter, and you must incorporate that. You represent me. I'm not here to sell you anything or to ask you for anything. I'm here to exercise my right to share with you what went wrong as a voter. Is that okay?
What I'm understanding from you, tell me if I'm wrong, Ms. Trax, what I'm understanding from you is that what your comment was about excusing the behavior was a more generalized thing in general, that the way the Office of Elections has been run was not voter friendly to you, and that you believe that our lack of action around that in general has excused the behavior.
Yeah.
And that was more talking in general than just about this meeting day. Would that be correct?
Right. And let me be not to be disrespectful. I want to show you that I respect you and the body here. But again, it's an insult. That's how deep it is. I'm from Mississippi. I know what it takes to vote. It didn't come easy. And when I see this behavior, I can't stand by and have one explain to me the elementary aspects of it. I'm saying address this. This is an ugly situation, and it should be made uneasy for everyone. Everyone should go away with the feeling of hurt and frustration, because you only get one vote, whether it's women, minorities. We're American people. We need that. to keep a democracy going. So don't be offended, and you have no right to be. This is part of the process. It's like making law. It's like sausage. You don't want to see it.
Right.
So don't take it an offense to it. I'm just telling you, this is very important. I'd rather stand and fight this for the next 20 years, because it's not a democracy then. It becomes, what's to say that this wasn't a plan in some dark room at midnight? What's to say that? So we need a complete investigation, and I ask that an independent, as I've stated, that the FBI and the United States Attorney General, to avoid the localism. I don't believe we need to tiptoe it. Yes.
But it's not to say, and I want to clarify for the commission, we're not trying to put this aside. This is our first opportunity since the general election to meet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's fair to say that we're trying to sweep it under the rug. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
You have your rights to speak, and we as commissioners, we have a right to. This is the first opportunity we have had to have a meeting. Our chairman's tried to schedule 3 or 4 different dates. But when you have 9 commissioners from 4 different items, it's pretty hard. And try to understand our point of view. We're from all walks of life,
right,
and we are employed.
I do, sir, and I appreciate that, and I respect you, as I've said. But again, if you think you're feeling uneasy now and offended.
Well, I'm not offended.
Well, and I say, again, I know the process, and I just want you to know that while I'm not personally attacking you, but I will watch this, and I, you know, if it's offensive.
By all means, okay. Please watch it. I'm not offended. I have 2 questions for you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, one is obstruct voter access and influence of outcome of certain elections. Now, that's a very strong statement.
You want me to adjudicate the case now, or
just wondering, as a private citizen,
right,
to make a statement like that, which is very serious.
Of course.
And we're going to take it serious.
Of course.
I'm sure our chairman is going to instruct us to really look into this, and also getting the FBI involved.
Of course.
Okay, that's a good statement, too.
Mm-hmm.
But to make that first statement of obstructing certain elections, is there something adequate to add besides your simple statement?
I submit, and my statement stands, it is a question and a statement. I submit that there was a number of voters obstructed their right, their access. Whether it was, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like to, I would, but I'm becoming uneasy with having to sit here and justify my questions.
Well,
I would like to ask that we let you do your investigation, and if it doesn't rise to the occasion of an obstruction, then I've erred.
No, it's not a matter of an investigation. It's mm-hmm. just a question if you had anything to substantiate a statement like this, because now this is a personal thing. If you were to say that to me, and if I was guilty, I'd keep my mouth shut. But if I'm not guilty, I would fight you as an individual citizen.
Well, let's bring it on.
I'm
not an apologist for my actions.
I'm not asking you to
okay.
apologize.
So,
but you give us the statement, and we're supposed to accept it?
Yes. You are obligated, or you can resign. It's a process. It's well, due process. I submit a request of letters and statements
and
based on my opinion,
if you have anything,
and I'm answering them. Yes, I have statements from people that worked in the polling place.
Say yes. We don't need to go to battle.
We're not going to battle. I'm just giving you, my
response.
Mr. Chairman, I take offense to this. I'm a citizen. What do you mean by I don't want to go to battle?
I'm a citizen too.
Sir, I'll let you address that.
No. I think we've gone long enough back and forth here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to discuss today. There's
thank
a lot
you.
Of things that go on. We thank you for your
thank you, sir.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
No further questions for Mr. Cox. I'd like to point on the last person. Is it Marcia Joyner? Is that correct?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Marcia. How are you?
I am Marcia Joyner, and I am here as the past president of the Dr. Martin Luther King Coalition. And we are now 25 years in Hawaii. You know, when you speak of Dr. Martin Luther King, everybody thinks, I have a dream. Well, there was much more to Martin Luther King than I have a dream, one of which was Bloody Sunday. And for those of you that may or may not know about Bloody Sunday, 8,000 people crossed the Pettus Bridge and were beaten within an inch of their lives, including Dr. King, for the right to vote. Now, this was March of 65, and soon thereafter, President Lyndon Johnson signed the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And he said, as he signed it, we shall overcome. He also said that we were going to lose the South for a generation, and obviously we have. Now, I bring that up because I am offended by what happened in the general election. Dr. King also said, I cannot sit idly by and not feel that what happens to someone happens to me. I think I voted by absentee, so I assume that my vote was counted. But we watched, and in East Honolulu, as the senator said, the cars waiting to get into the parking lot at the polling place was 2 miles long. Mm-hmm. 2 miles long, I counted. People were turned away. When you don't print enough ballots, when you don't give enough ballots, that amounts to voter suppression. Now, I don't know that all of you have read the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And in my letter to you, which you did not respond, I have not gotten an answer back, I told you that what you did is a violation by not allowing enough ballots for everybody to vote is voter suppression. And that is in Voting Rights Act, Title 42, the Public Health and Welfare Chapter 20, Effective Franchise Subchapter 1, Section Voting Rights Prohibits. And when you do not provide a device, it says to deny a voter a device to vote, is a felony. This is a violation. And yes, if you read my letter, you can see that I did send it to the Chief Voting Section, Civil Rights Division, Department of Justice. The same letter I sent to you on the same day. And I have sent it again to them. This is a voting rights, it is a violation. It is not to provide a device. A ballot is a device with which you vote. And not to provide enough for every registered voter is a fraud. It's a felony. I am not asking you for a report. I am asking the Justice Department to ask you for a report because this is a felony. I don't know who decided that we had some kind of a formula by which you provide ballots. I don't know what that's about. I did not understand it in the letter sent, the email. I didn't understand what the formula was and why you would use a formula based on primary votes. That makes no sense. When they tell us we have to, and I have never missed an election in Hawaii in 40 years. I have worked every job except the chief in the elections in the last 20 years. Why? They tell us we have to have people registered 30 days in advance so everyone is counted, so they print enough ballots. There is no reason. There is no reason for this except that, well, I don't know because my letter wasn't, I did not get a response. I don't know why you would do this. and then it just seems odd to me that you would violate the law. So, again, I didn't get a response to my letter. I did ask a question, and again, I did file a complaint with the state as well as the federal. So you can expect to hear from them. Are there any questions? No comment? Thank you. Yes.
Thank you for bringing that background.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments? Okay, that completes the...
Chair, we have one more.
We have one more. I'm sorry.
Good morning, Chair and members of the Commission. My name is Guy Archer. I first registered to vote in Hawaii in 1974 and have been a licensed attorney in Hawaii since 1974. During that time, I had 5 years as a deputy attorney general here in the state, here in Honolulu, and also represented Maui County in the Department of Corporation Counsel for some years. But I'm here today representing Americans for Democratic Action, Hawaii chapter. And earlier this month, following the election, we had a board meeting, and one of the issues that was discussed at that board meeting was are citizens being deprived here in Hawaii of their right to vote? And the board has asked me to look into the legalities of that. And you may or may not be aware, but when there is a deprivation of a civil right, and you've clearly heard the civil right we're talking about here is the right to vote under the United States Constitution, a citizen can file a civil rights deprivation lawsuit under Title 1983 of the U.S. Code, and that allows them to go forward in federal court with a civil action to prove or attempt to prove that they've been deprived of their civil right. And these 1983 actions are complicated lawsuits. There's a large body of law that, for example, Sandra Day O'Connor, the eminent former justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, that was one of her specialties. They can be a very costly kind of litigation in that you're in federal district court here locally, and you then get an appeal up to the Ninth Circuit, and then you get to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it can be a lengthy, and in any event, when I was representing government agencies and officers, I used to say, you know, and they would get sued, I would say, this is going to be a good learning process for all of us. We're going to learn a little bit more about what we can do and what we can't do and where the limits are. I think Senator Slom touched on the need for consequences, and I think that's why the Board of Americans for Democratic Action has asked me to look into whether a civil rights deprivation lawsuit should be filed. That's it.
Any comments for...
So are you going to?
Well, sort of. It may be that this commission will come forward and issue a report and give the public some information and something to grab onto to think that things will improve. On the other hand, it may try to duck the issues or minimize the issues, in which case there might be enough support and angst among the general public to say, gee, someone's got to sue. But from my standpoint, filing suit is the last recourse. You know, we would like to solve Commissioner Young said, it's a we problem. We want to solve this problem. I don't want to go to court if I don't have to. Thank you.
If there are no other questions, we will then move on to item number five, discussion and review of the County of Hawaii 212 general election to include recommendations for future elections held in that county.
Well, basically, the 2012 general election was unprecedented. We had to actually rescind our delegations to the County of Hawaii for precinct operations, control center, county center. That was never been done in state history. Sent a staff member down there. For the most part, the elections did go smoothly. We did have a lot of help from the county clerk's office. We couldn't have done it without by ourselves. We did have an issue that the clerk did raise, which was the polling place in Kona, where there were 11 voters added to the poll book that should not have been. What it was a volunteer precinct official, and we thanked them because we need volunteers, but he was not following the procedures. And what they were doing was they were writing down the names in the poll book without calling into control center. Once we found that out in the morning, we corrected it, took that person offline, and remedied the situation. Now, of those 11 voters, they were all registered voters. It's just 10 of them were not supposed to be voting in that polling place. One was, for whatever reason, they weren't in the poll book. But I just want to state that this rescission of delegation was not something that we're looking at as a long-term purpose. It was just something we did for the 2012 general election to ensure that the issues we had in the primary did not reoccur. And we felt we owed it to the voters to make sure that they had a good, sound, clean election. And I'll answer any questions.
How many staff did you send?
We sent out one staff member from our office. However, we did hire we supplemented that by hiring staff that we got from that county, or residents of that county. So I believe there was like a total of seven or eight.
So only one person from your office?
Yeah, we're not, in a normal election year, we're not equipped to send people to the neighbor islands to run an election. I mean, we're here in Honolulu running the Honolulu election. I mean, we're running polling places on Oahu. We're running the counting center, the control center, so we don't really have the staff to actually send to the neighbor islands so that they can oversee that kind of operation.
Did you replace that worker with somebody of same caliber in your office?
No, we replaced that by a team of people. We had people covering. We would not have made that decision if we didn't feel we could have adequate support in that position. But it was something we realized that we had to do, and we did it.
The Ms. Kawauchi, in her testimony or in her comments, requested that in the future elections, if the delegated authority return back to the county. Can you tell us how you feel about that?
Yeah, like I said, that rescinding our delegation for the 2012 general election was not something we were looking at as a long-term solution. It was something we felt we needed to do at that time in order to ensure a secure, open, and honest election for the County of Hawaii for the 2012 general election. We never looked at it as a long-term solution.
So we reluctantly took the action.
It was something it wasn't an easy decision, but the staff felt that we could do it, and I mean, we thought it was something we needed to do to bring back confidence on the Big Island for their voters.
On the Big Island, I understand what you did. There was comment from the island of Hawaii where we could post up the box. Did you go through protocol and everything else that you're supposed to do? Because her testimony was that she was not told.
But basically, the delegation of authority was ours to rescind.
We didn't go through.
I did inform her of that day that we were rescinding our delegation of authority. And looking back in hindsight, if I had told her sooner, maybe I should have.
Perhaps this isn't the place or time, but could you explain the
You need to talk louder because the mic business is your reaching out in the corner.
Yeah,
okay. That shirt, we have an election day shirt, and it is what it is. It's a record book. And we had high turnout, high registration. We had high registration. It was one for the record books. I don't know what else to say.
Well, what's the exact definition of that
shirt? It says Hawaii elections 2012, one for the record books.
So all of poll workers?
No, just the elections day staff. Poll workers did not have that shirt. We cannot afford to give poll workers T-shirts.
The person that you sent to Big Island, was that one of your key personnel, or was that one of your...
She is a section head, a valued member of the staff, and she did bring a lot to the table, yes.
So not having her in your operation, I wonder if they may have compromised their function.
It may have compromised our ability to cope with the issue. It's hard to say. Hindsight is 20/20. If she was there, would we have been able to solve the issue of ballot shortage? I don't know. Maybe. It's just hard to say.
Any more comments from the commissioners about item 5?
I just have one concern. The representative from the Island of Hawaii, it shouldn't be where maybe protocol is not followed. It should be communication between your office, yourself, and any island, Hawaii, Maui, Kona, the big, whatever. But the complaint we heard was that she was not told, her office was not informed, and you said that you informed her the day before or something, and maybe it should have been earlier. I think some kind of policy should be implemented into your procedure manual so there'd be no future misunderstandings or having testimony given by that lady this morning that seemed very upset that protocol was not followed. And I don't think that's necessary.
I might have to disagree. I don't know that there was an established protocol that was not followed. This was a very unique incident.
That is something we will look at if we ever have to do this again.
Scott, was it ever brought up before the Election Commission the possibility that the state was going to take back the state's responsibility in the county? Because I didn't read that in the minutes. Apologize for a meeting that I missed due to hospitalization of my mother, but I didn't see that that was ever anything that came before us to discuss.
I don't think it did.
No, it did not.
It did not, no. This is something we did that we thought was necessary to ensure a secure, open, honest election for the 2012 general election. And that's why we did what we did.
Any other comments? Move into item number 6, discussion and review of the state 2012 general election. Start with item A, report from the chief election officer.
Okay, we submitted our report to you, our status of operations report. I'll briefly discuss it. Basically, the reason for the ballot shortage was our formula. We did not use the proper formula to determine how many ballots we allot to the polling place. Normally, we would do this based on the previous general election. However, this year, being a reapportionment year, we did not have historical data because the districts changed. So to go back to the old polling places and look at turnout from 2010 general election would not be comparable because the polling places don't have the same geographical boundaries.
so they may not necessarily have the same registration counts. So to use that would not give us an accurate number. So what we did was we went through the primary election, and we estimated that if we increase it by 125% to take into account the higher turnout in the general, it should be sufficient. However, it was not a sufficient number for us. As you can see, we ran out of ballots, and we ran low of ballots in 51 polling places. 24 actually ran out of ballots before we were able to replenish them. I would like to thank the staff on election day who worked. We did not just sit there and try not to solve this problem. The staff worked tirelessly from 10 o'clock when we first were alerted of a few polling places throughout the day to get these ballots out. And we're looking at running out ballots to 51 polling places. We don't have that staff, but the staff, you know, stepped up. We sent anybody available. We sent DC controllers. They're the ones that are in charge of delivering ballots to the polling place. We sent our own staff. We sent our warehouse staff. But in the end, we just did not get the formula right.
Why is it necessary to limit the number of ballots that you allocate to a polling place? If a polling place, for instance, had 1,000 registered voters, why don't you deliver 1,000 ballots?
One of the things, we are looking at coming up with a better formula for that.
Why do you need the formula?
Well, one of the things is loads. If we have to give a ballot out to every voter, we would need, it would be a logistical issue that we would have to conquer to make sure that we can deliver that amount of ballots out to the registered, out to the polling places on election day morning. Because we deliver them by taxi cabs. If we have 100% ballots, like you're suggesting, one of the things is we gotta get more vehicles to deliver these in the morning.
And so it's a matter of cost?
It's not a matter of cost, it's more of a logistical issue. Also, you have a security issue because we have to inventory every ballot. We take an inventory of all the voted ballots, unissued ballots, and we account for everything. And we normally get this figure right, it's just this time we did not.
Now, when was this formula or this concept? How long ago did that go into effect? I mean, you used it before.
We used it before, but we were able
to... When was the first year it was used?
Oh, before my time. The 80s, I guess.
Pardon?
The 80s.
So somebody back in the 80s created this formula? Is that the...
Like I said, this year is unique because it's the first year under a new reapportionment plan. So we have
a
new polling...
But there was a formula that was created somewhere back in the 80s, you're saying. And so for a number of years, that formula was applied to the ballot allocation to precincts?
Correct.
And this is the first year that the formula didn't work?
No. Well, the formula was misapplied because we applied it to the primary election rather than the previous general election. This is the first time that we've had this issue.
I think there's a miscommunication here. In the past, the formula was being used with the general. Well, there was something completely different that was a decision made this time, just from the primaries. And my understanding is there was a 5% lower turnout in 2008 than 2012, and yet we still had.
Because we went off of the 2012 primary turnout rather than the 2008 general, because the geographical boundaries would not overlay, so you couldn't go with historical data off of that.
Were there geographic boundaries that changed on other islands, such as Kauai and Maui?
Yes.
And were there any polling places there that ran out of ballots?
They didn't run out, but they did run low. Kauai ran low on 11 polling places. Mm-hmm. However, they were able to cope with replenishing. Maui sent out 11 reserve ballots to the polling places in what they term as an abundance of caution. And on the Big Island, because of the big geographical nature of the Big Island, the reserve ballots were actually sent out that morning with the election day ballots. So this was not a problem just limited to the island of Oahu.
It seems to me, I'm sorry, that it was a problem when they limited it to the island. I don't know of any complaints from Maui and people that feel that their civil rights were violated or that they were disenfranchised because of the lack of ballots on Maui. I live on Maui. I've been very careful to try to ask for input from Maui voters, as well as traveling around to the polls on Election Day. I don't know of one complaint from a person on Maui that they felt disenfranchised, even though they did have reapportionment in those issues. So it seems to me that from what I've heard today, every complaint about being disenfranchised was limited to those places.
That is correct, but the fact that running low of ballots was not limited, what I meant to say, what the running low of ballots was not limited to just Oahu. They did run low in other, the neighbor island counties, they were just able to cope with it better.
We didn't have two miles, which tends to discourage people from.
Have you, no matter what is done in the future, it seems as though some review should be made of this model, and perhaps check with, you know, go to other states and find out what are their best practices. Do they use a model to do this? And it seems as though you would want to err on the side of an abundance of ballots, because once you, the cost of paper and ink can't be that much. So you would want to err on the side of way overestimating rather than cutting it too thin. And I just question the use of this model.
Yeah,
I'd like to know how other states do it.
That is something we will look at. The model that we use for this election, I don't think we'll ever use again. Frankly, honestly, it was wrong. And, you know, we used the wrong formula. We apologized to voters. I mean, that's unacceptable. And we will find another model. I mean, we're looking at, you know, like you said, ordering more ballots or ordering 100% just so that we do not ever run into the situation again.
Or automatically sending out in the morning to the polls any remaining absentee ballots or any remaining vote ballots from the early walk-in. Those should automatically go out to the polling places.
Yeah, one of the reasons we do have reserve ballots is because any unforeseen circumstance, they misplace a box, something gets lost in transit, we can actually deliver reserve ballots to make up that difference. You know, if there's a traffic accident, you know, I don't want to sound morbid or anything. One of the things we are looking at, though, is not stationing the reserve ballots centrally at our control center, our counting center area. One is putting them out in the field so that that's less time for us to have to get those ballots out to the field should they need those ballots. So we are looking at ways to actually minimize this kind of thing.
You know, as the Commissioner said, we don't want to turn the code into it again. But public, as you've heard today, make statements. It wasn't three precincts, two precincts, two voting places. It was 51. I think that's the concern of the public. And I think we, besides just saying we're not going to use the formula again, I don't think that gives everybody a big encouragement. Do you have a new formula?
Well, one of the formulas we're looking at is we're looking at taking the registered voter count minusing out the absentee voters, because those voters get a different ballot, and then taking an 80% of that for the polling place and then allocating the rest as reserve ballots. So it would be kind of like what Bill said, 100% ordering of ballots for all voters.
Then it's an answer already. Like Commissioner Zell said, is it a cost factor? If it's not a cost factor.
No, it's not a cost factor.
Then why couldn't we have just done this before the general election? You solved the Big Island problem after our last meeting. So the Big Island is solved. Now we got a Oahu problem, which is 85% of the population. Then we have statements from the gentleman that testified earlier that there's criminal intent. Bring in the FBI. I mean, why is it so serious that we couldn't have just ordered, if you have 100 voters, you order 100 ballots. So you might throw away 5 ballots. But 51 precincts, that means 51 deliveries. That's what I think the public is concerned about. And for us to sit here and have statements pointed to us that we're going to sweep this under the carpet is totally wrong, because we work together with your office. And this is why we're here today, is if you got 100,000 voters, you order 100,000 ballots. Of course, out of the 100,000, nobody's going to, not 100,000 is going to show up. But I don't see where this is a hard formula.
Well, one of the things...
Why do we need to calculate a percentage of last year's or the year before's election when you know we have a registered voter base of, say, 500,000? So we ordered 500,000 ballots. That's the right of the individual citizen, right?
Correct.
If they register, they get to vote.
Correct.
If you don't got the ballot, you can't vote. And I think that's what I hear today from everyone testifying. You know, we support you and your office. We always have worked well together. This is one thing that we've been blasted individually, I think, on this thing. It's a fiasco. 51 precincts not having enough ballots. 5 or 10 is one thing, but this is kind of high.
Well, I think at the very least, you need to come up with a new format or a new statement of how this is going to be handled, and the public's got to know that. The public has to have some assurance that it is not going to happen in the future, that there's some quirk in a formula or something that's going to cause it to happen. And I know you're working on it, but I think it's very important that be a product of your effort. Are there any more
just
questions?
Just out of curiosity, are the other states doing the formula job too, or do they have the requisite number of votes?
Yeah, everybody does a formula because it's hard to order 100% for every voter. I mean, you can guesstimate, but one of the issues we have is the deadline is 30 days out of the election to register. However, the ballot order goes in right after the primary, or it has to go in early because we need to print ballots for the 45-day deadline, the overseas mailing deadline.
And the printing of the ballots is done off-island?
No, the printing of the ballots is actually done on-island. That's one of the things we required in our contract.
So if it's done on-island, there's no freight or timetable or anything?
There's no freight or timetable, it's just a matter
so
of printing.
So if you ordered 80,000 ballots and then you find out you need an extra 20,000, that would be a problem?
No, because the printer can print additional ballots as...
So within your 45-day time frame, and your formula is not correct, so you
can supplement the order with additional ballots, yes.
So I'm still not understanding why we can't print enough ballots. Commissioner, one comment just from how other states do it. I think Hawaii, in a weird way, is... has the potential to have the most honest voting system because we have such a limited use of election machines and because of the prevalence of paper ballots. So, for example, having been involved in the process in Georgia and in Colorado, where there are a large number of voting machines, you don't have as much of an issue if you have enough paper ballots that are printed because you have the machines. The problem, however, is that the machines don't allow you to be able to go back and do the hard copy recount. And what more and more of the states that have relied on machines have found is then there are questions about, is the tabulation correct? Was it corrupted? How do you do a recount? For anyone who watches the TV show Vegas last week, you saw the mob bosses fixing the computers that were doing it so that a vote for candidate A shows up as a vote for candidate B. So, you know, in a weird way, having the paper ballots ensures a really honest process because it allows us to be able to go back and to do recounts and to say, we have it on paper. If you voted on paper, you've got it right here. It also means that it is a difference from many states that don't have to make sure that they have a paper ballot in hand for every voter. After listening to what you just said, Scott, I'm still not understanding why it's not possible to know the number of people who voted by absentee ballot, the number of people who were registered, and have enough ballots printed. I know that we don't have 100% turnout. I wish that was our problem. But when we have spent a lot of time and energy trying to increase voter turnout in the state, then to have a 2-mile stretch is really daunting. And it's easy to say, oh, well, if you really want to vote, you should stay there. But the reality is people have children have to pick them up from school. They have other things going on in their life. We're trying to increase our number of people that are showing up to the polls to vote. And I think there is something to be said for showing up at the polls. I think there's a tendency to have a problem and an overreaction. The overreaction be that our Office of Elections is not even capable of handling a walk-in election. My gosh, we have to go to completely doing it absentee. I don't believe that your office is not capable of managing a walk-in election, an old-fashioned election where people get a ballot and vote. But I'm not understanding, I must be missing something, why we can't print enough ballots for the voters. I'm sorry if I'm getting heated, but my family was involved in the civil rights movement in the South, in Georgia, and I find this just really distressing. A 2-mile-long thing would keep many people from walking into the polling place. And I understand that you are being criticized for something, not just that you're missing the ballots, but what I keep hearing are all these criminal charges. Why did those 51 precincts run out of ballots? I'm not in any way accusing you or us of doing that, but I'm saying that you can't help. That's going to happen. Those kind of questions are going to arise when you have 51 precincts in one area that run out of ballots. It's going to lead to a lack of voter confidence in our system, and then all that work we did to get more people to show up. So I'm still asking, why can't we just count enough ballots?
We can. Like I said, we just didn't for this general election.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be pounding on you. I know there's frustration, and I can feel it in the room.
And I share the frustration because I asked the same question. Why was the formula wrong? But it was wrong.
Scott, have there been any candidate challenges to this election?
There has been one. I believe it's a representative on the North Shore. But I believe the challenge has to do with the Polynesian Culture Center not allowing her to distribute or go onto their property to distribute campaign material, something of that nature.
Well, Scott, I don't know what the rest of the commission thinks, but my personal opinion, if you got 100 voters, you get 100 ballots. If you have 500 voters, you get 500 ballots. To go with percentage, what if it rains? What if it storms? What if there's an earthquake? You know, to calculate that way is to save ballot money. The other way is to ensure every citizen in America and in Hawaii who registered gets to vote. And he already said that it is not a cost factor. He already said it's printed in Hawaii. I thought maybe it was printed out of state, but if it's in Hawaii, that's no problem. I don't think you need a formula. It's just what we're talking about now. You get 100 voters, you get 100 ballots.
Why do we need that? Did the printer have anything to do with the formula?
No. That was strictly our office.
Does the printer mail the ballots out directly?
The printer, no.
Is it the vendor that made the printing error or something when 2 ballots went out to people?
That is a vendor for the absentee mail system. I don't have the details on that because that is the purview of the city clerk's office. The clerks handle absentee mail and registration. So that is a vendor that they contracted with to do that mail out, but it's not the same vendor that printed the ballots.
So on the walk-ins, we haven't had any shortage of ballots, did we?
We did, but we were fortunate enough to be able to utilize the reserve ballots.
I apologize for my physical handicap that required me to miss the first part of what you said. So if you already said this, then somebody can just explain it to me later. Did you discuss how the wrong ballots were given
to
people?
And I can do that right now. Basically, we had two polling places. 1903 Wailea Elementary School and District 2004 Hokulani Elementary School. In our rush to replenish those ballots that were running low, our volunteers dropped off the wrong ballots, and they were voting. The machine does not accept ballots in the wrong precinct. So when they put the ballot in, the machine will say wrong ballot type. The ballots were put in a bin because the machine was thought to be broken. But in fact, the machine was working. They were voting on the wrong ballot. However, the ballots were brought back to the counting center, and they were counted. All the contests that those voters were permitted to cast a vote for were counted by duplicating it onto the correct ballot.
So that was just a cascade from the having to rush
ballots. Having to rush ballots out there, yes. They dropped off the wrong box.
Any other comments or questions? Turn into item B, and what we mean by commissioners' observations, this is observations that commissioners themselves had going through the voting process. If you went to a precinct, how you voted, if you talked to people. Is there any comments from the commissioners? Let's start with you, Danny. Your voting experience, you talked to anybody, what was...
Well, I think I already said what I said in visiting several voting places. And when I saw the line, it was time to go. Not do any investigation then. Again, you got 1,000 voters, you get 1,000 ballots, but not 51 places, and it's short. Other than that, no one.
I'm a permanent absentee voter, and I prefer it because it doesn't interfere with my life or my day. Most of my family is absentee, most of my friends are absentee, but the attorneys in my office like to go to City Hall and vote. They didn't seem to have any problems from what I heard, but I had a lot of telephone calls once November 16th. It was disturbing to see people waiting for ballots. That was hard to watch. I don't see why we can't have a ballot per person. Seriously. That is truly disturbing, but it's a logistics issue for us. I understand the problems that the office has gone through since, but to me, it doesn't make any sense that a person can't expect a ballot when they get to the polling place. I mean, unless we turn to mail-ins, there needs to be a fix, and the fix has to come soon, because the next election is still 2 years, right?
I'm happy to say that Kauai had a very smooth election. I had a tour of the counting center there and came away feeling that everything was very much in control. The contingencies were planned for, and I felt very, very good about the whole situation at the counting center. A lot of people there had a lot of experience. You could see they knew what they were doing. I also called several polling places on Kauai and chatted with the officials there. There were just some minor things that occurred that I might mention quickly. There were poll watchers at a lot of our polls this year. And in at least in one case, that poll watcher marched in before the poll was actually open and was there when they were trying to swear in the poll workers and things. So I think in the instruction book or in the manual, there needs to be something given to the precinct or the poll watchers' captains that they must not allow the poll watchers in before the polls open. And they also had some difficulty with the swearing-in procedure. When they went to swear in the poll watchers, there was a printing error. Instead of getting proper pages, they got two of one page, so they had to improvise the swearing-in procedure. It's a minor, but it starts the day off wrong when you can't even get that right. They were running short, but nobody ran out. There were some protesters out. There were some teachers out in front of our polling places. Basically, they were protesting the lack of a contract, but they were within the specified area where they should not have been had they been electioneering. I think there needs to be something extra given to these poll people that they understand what is electioneering and what is not electioneering and what can be done within this space of the poll. They kept a close watch on them. There were no voter complaints about these people being out there protesting. And had there been, they would have made them go away. As long as they didn't refer, I guess, to any candidates, they deemed it okay. But there was a question. They were definitely close. Any late closing polls was basically due to people being in line at the time the polls closed. So those people were all let in and they were all allowed to vote. And then one other minor thing is when the voters went to the table where the VAO was located, if there was any problem with identifying the voter, they had to say their social security number out loud in order to identify the voter over the phone. And there was some complaints that voters did not like their social security number to be given out loud. I don't know if there's another way to reference the voter when you call in or not, but there were some objections to that. Other than that, everything seemed to go very smoothly. No problem.
Thank
minor
you.
Things, really.
Carrie, any more to add?
County Clerk Kaweda had anticipated what were going to be problems on Maui, and he did a really excellent job of having a plan in place for those problems. Because of redistricting, we did have a number of people who showed up at the wrong polling place. And it's always interesting to watch, because there's an immediate emotional reaction if your name's not on the list, because the emotional reaction is, I'm not going to be allowed to vote. I'm going to be denied my right to vote. And so that person is an angry person. And what I watched was people who have been trained really well, because it had to be the way somebody feels if they're standing behind the counter at Hawaiian Airlines and a flight gets canceled. Everybody that comes up to you is angry. And those people were really well trained in terms of reassuring the person standing there that they were going to be allowed to vote, that all that was going to be required was a phone call to the control center to see where the right place was for them to be able to go and vote. They were treated, I was amazed. I watched poll workers who, with hours and hours of distressed people, were calm and were reassuring to them that we guarantee you, you will get to vote. If you don't know where your new polling place is, if you can't find it, we'll have somebody that will go show you how to get there. It was really, really well done. There were so many of those people, the only thing that I saw was that the pre-programmed phones, which worked brilliantly, did run out of battery because the calls to the control center were so frequent, so maybe some spare batteries for those people. But our county clerk had done a really good job of anticipating what was going to happen, a really good job of over-training, because I would ask those poll workers, how are you staying so calm? How are you handling this with this barrage of people and you can feel the emotion there? And they said that they were trained for it. They knew what to do. They knew how to handle it. They knew what to expect. Really impressive.
I had a chance to visit the control center prior to the opening, beginning of balloting, and got a tour to see how everything had been laid out physically as well as personnel-wise. It seemed like everything was very, very well coordinated. Then I got to visit 7 different precincts, spoke to the precinct chairman, board of assistance people, general staff, as well as there were some observers there. And the overall tenor is just what Zara just said. the people in charge did a really good job of monitoring the voters coming in, of making sure that they were allowed to vote in a reasonable manner. There were some impromptu arrangements so that some of the voters who had difficulty going through the tedious ballot had a chance to sit elsewhere other than in the booth with their consent and without compromise of privacy. And that's all by consent. So that went smoothly. I saw areas where people came in and they were at the wrong precinct. The ones that I saw, I'm sorry, they didn't get all frustrated. They were more embarrassed than anything else. They were the wrong place. They were redirected. They were given instructions on where to go or how to get there. I thought the precincts I went to were very, very well handled. I saw no potential compromise of any sort. So I gave kudos to our Maui County clerk and his staff. I thought they ran excellent. Sorry, but I don't have any bad things to say about
that. I have nothing bad to say about Hawaii either. Our county clerk did a wonderful job.
Okay, moving on to item C. The Office of Elections recommendations for future elections.
I think we should have them.
I beg your pardon?
I think we should have them.
Like I said, one of the things we are looking at is to make sure that we do not have this issue of running out of ballots again, ever again. We will come up with a formula for you and explain it so that this issue never arises again. One of the other things we're looking at is how we could cope if such an issue were to arise. Our responses should have been better. We should have had reserve ballots out in the field rather than in a central location. We should have been able to cope with it much better than we did. I'm not saying that the staff didn't cope with it in an appropriate manner. It's just we should have had things in place so that we could have coped with the situation when it should it have arisen.
Any questions or comments from the commissioners? We pretty well beat that.
I just have one question for Scott. The county clerk for Oahu, how does he fit into this whole thing that happened here?
City clerk for Oahu, Honolulu, the city clerk. It's actually the city clerk.
The city clerk.
Yes. On Oahu, you have a different model. You have absentee and registration handled by the city clerk. And the Office of Elections does everything else on election day.
So that's entirely your responsibility?
That's entirely our responsibility, correct.
Any other further comments? We're moving on then to item 7 in the agenda, executive session. Do I hear a motion that we move prepared to executive session?
Second.
Do I hear a second? Moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I don't know about the other commissioners. I've got to go down the hall before I can go through any more. So if you have to take a break, do it, please.
Why don't you give me your email? Thank you for your comments.
They're well grounded.
Testimony is always well received.
They're well grounded there. Mm-hmm. And I'm more interested in the subject of the foreign language balance. That is something no one wishes to talk about. So I hope you guys would, because I've been informed it is horrendous.
Yes, I can.